The first big event of the presidential season, the Iowa caucus, taking place tonight. And joining us from Des Moines, Iowa, historian and author Michael Sokolow with us. Michael, good afternoon.
Hi, Rich.
How are things in Iowa?
Iowa's great. Very exciting.
You got a lot going on out there. You're working with a group called Kid Unity. Can you tell us a little bit about their mission?
Yeah, Kid Unity is a educational nonprofit out of Los Angeles, and they specialize in civic. They teach 10th, on this trip, there's 10th graders and 7th graders learning about the Iowa caucuses and politics.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, so what's the mood out there? What's the weather? And how do the numbers look overall? Is it going to be a good turnout?
Well, I got three excellent reporters ready to tell you about that. I'll just give my quick prediction, which is that I think it's going to be very exciting and very close.
Well, we like the sound of that. Well, yeah, who have you got with you today? And we'll get to them for the real inside information.
Yeah, they know. They've been here longer than me, and they've been to rallies and everything. So they'll be able to give you the great insights. Okay, the first is Will Sheehy, and the second is Eva Rodriguez, and the third is Oliver Munakosh. So it's Will, Eva, and Oliver.
All right. Well, let's start with Will. Will, thanks for being with us. Tell us a little bit.
I'll put a Will on right now.
Oh, okay.
Hi, this is Will.
Hi, Will. How are you? Where are you from, Will, and how did you get involved in this project?
So I'm from Los Angeles, California. My dad actually runs Kid Unity, which is a program that brought all of us here to Iowa. So that's how I got involved.
So what have you seen so far? What's your reading of the pulse of Iowa?
Yeah, so we got here Friday night, and we've had the opportunity to meet a bunch of candidates so far. We met Joe Walsh, one of the Republicans running against Trump. We met Yang. We met Biden. And this morning we met Bill Weld, who's the former governor of Massachusetts. I think it's been interesting to be on the ground here. You get a sense for how the momentum has been shifting in the past few days. Yang, in particular, I noticed at his rally that his fans were really, really into it. There's a lot more participation there than I saw maybe at the Biden rally that we went to last night. So little things like that.
Well, for anybody who doesn't know, now I teach 10th graders, and I'm not sure they all understand, and I think even some older folks don't quite get how a caucus works. Can you kind of give an overview of how things will work when it's time to choose sides?
Yes. So the way caucus works is tonight at 6:30 around Iowa, there'll be a bunch of different places where people will gather, typically like high school gyms, for example. And corners of the room will be devoted to certain candidates, and people will go to the corners that that correspond with the candidates they support. And after an initial count, certain corners of the room may not have the certain threshold of people, which I believe is 15%. And after that is what's called the second realignment, where those people who support candidates that didn't meet the threshold are recruited by other people who support other candidates, and they like reallocate themselves.
Yeah, that's always the interesting part of this, is when people have to make that realignment. And unlike in a primary where you're just voting for your favorite, you've got to know who your number two is when you walk in a room often.
Yes. I think it's going to play a big part tonight. Bernie Sanders appears to be the close favorite over Joe Biden. However, Bernie Sanders often, or the way the polls have been trending, it shows that he may not have as much support in the second realignment, which could play an interesting part tonight.
Absolutely. Well, Will, we appreciate your insight. If you want to hand the phone to Eva, we'll ask her a couple of questions, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're out in Des Moines, Iowa, talking with Michael Sokolow and some of the participants in this Kid Unity project. Hello, Eva.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from originally?
So I'm from Los Angeles, California. I'm a sophomore at an all-girls high school.
Excellent. Well, so tell us what you've seen so far when it comes to, let's say, the excitement level, the investment of voters. Who are the candidates you've seen that really seem to be getting their supporters fired up?
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of passion in Iowa. specifically with the Buttigieg campaign, I was talking to a woman this morning. She's in her mid-80s, and she was telling me how this is her first election in about 40 years, and her daughter really motivated her to come out to the caucuses just to learn about different people running for president. And so she has been to many multiple rallies over the past couple of days and listened to a bunch of speakers, but then she went to a Buttigieg rally and completely felt motivated and felt the passion in the room. And she says she hasn't felt that in 40 plus years. So that really stuck out to me because you don't really see that. And it's all about captivating the millennial vote, but no one really thinks about the elderly vote and the role they play in the 2020 election. So I think that's great to note.
What's interesting too, a lot of the polls indicate that while there are some favorites there, there are a lot of people who aren't completely set in stone, and as you illustrated with that example, could be swayed here at the last minute. Are you seeing that people are a little bit flexible and may change their mind when they actually get in and have to take a stand with a candidate?
Yeah, I actually really saw that at the Yang rally. For example, there were many people that were wearing Klobuchar t-shirts. We had a couple MAGA hats that we saw, as well as some Biden supporters. You can definitely see people are not just sticking to one candidate. They're really reaching out and seeing what other people have to offer as the uncertainty continues to soar in this race.
Generally speaking, oftentimes in these kind of situations, when you have a caucus, it tends to be the party regulars, and they're often, at least in the Democratic Party, a bit more liberal than the electorate. But sounds like Iowa might be a bit different than that, that there are just irregular folks who maybe are not that involved politically, who are showing up to have their voice heard.
Yeah, that's really voiced right now, and I think that a lot of candidates are really speaking on that and trying to get as many people to the caucus as possible, just to at least get like a head count and to get as many people involved in this process as possible, since it's such a vital step in the election in November.
That's excellent. Well, Eva, thanks for weighing in with your thoughts. And if you could pass the phone over to Oliver, we'll talk with him. Thanks again.
Of course. Thank you so much.
It's 542 on Downtown. We're talking with Michael Sokolow and students from the Kid Unity program out in Des Moines, Iowa. And Oliver joins us now. Oliver, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
And tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you from? Are you also from Los Angeles?
Yes, I'm also from Los Angeles, California, and I go to an all-boys high school.
Well, let me ask you this. First of all, what drew you to this program?
Well, I actually did this program back in 2016. My friend Will's father actually is one of the leaders of the program, and I've always been interested in politics. I love debating people about politics, and it's one of my passions. And I just love politics. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting too that you have had a chance to meet some of the Republican candidates. From what you've seen, is there much support for those other Republican candidates when it seems like the nomination is a foregone conclusion for President Trump?
Yeah, we've met with candidates Joe Walsh and Bill Weld, and it seems like their main goal is just to take the quote-unquote hype away from Trump. They probably were Trump supporters back in 2016, but after they've seen what he's done in his presidency, they're not exactly for him, and they want to keep the Republican Party just the way it was before someone like Trump as a radical.
Now, it's interesting, too, in Iowa, because of the Senate impeachment trial, a number of the Democratic candidates have been stuck in Washington, so a lot of this caucus work has been done by surrogates so far, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's actually, not gone too well for, people like Klobuchar, because she's had to stay with and do the impeachment trial, so it slowed down her campaigning in Iowa.
So does that perhaps give any advantage to people like Joe Biden or Pete Buttigieg, who could be there all the time?
I think it does. I feel like I've definitely seen more support for people for people like Sanders and Buttigieg, just because they've been here for so long.
Which, as you look around at these candidates and go to the rallies, which candidate's supporters seem to be the most energized right now?
Well, surprisingly, even though he's polling at between 1% and 6%, Andrew Yang supporters, they seem to love him. And there's actually a poll that came out recently that if Andrew Yang supporters, they wouldn't vote for another candidate other than Andrew Yang. And I think he has the most energized supporters, and in his rallies, he's really energizing the crowd and involving them by asking them questions and people would raise their hand, and he kind of like shifts his speech around like the crowd he has.
Excellent. Well, Oliver, we appreciate you making some time for us, and we'll check back in with Michael Socolow now. But thanks again, and enjoy your time in Iowa.
Thank you so much.
We'll check back with Michael Socolow. Hey, Michael, those you were right. They were great.
They were great. Not only that, this group is amazing. The Eva has a podcast called Keeping Up with the Candidate, and another one has pitched and gotten accepted an article at Teen Vogue, and a lot of their work is going to come out about the youth and voting.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because you wonder, and I wonder as a public school teacher, if the last few years, if the bitterness of this campaign has maybe driven young people to be disinterested in the whole political process.
No, I think, and they've told me, they really were impressed with the Yang rally, and you do see young people here in Iowa really getting into it, and I think they're getting into it in California. We got to get them into it in Maine, because New Hampshire has, you know, New Hampshire's our big rival, and they've got everybody there. You know, for Maine, for when we have our primary, we've really got to get the kids into it.
Well, it's fantastic. Wonderful work you're doing. Let me ask you, it's not just about winning in the Iowa caucus. For a lot of these candidates, it's where you finish more than anything else. Who is hoping to have a surprisingly good showing?
Well, you know what, Rich? Would you mind if I turn it around on you? Let's go on the record. Do you have a prediction? You tell me who's going to surprise. Who's going to be, what they call it, is the narrative. Who's going to take the narrative into New Hampshire? They don't have to win, but they do surprisingly well.
Well, I think because of a lot of factors, including that he's been there and not tied up in the middle of hearings in Washington, I really expect Pete Buttigieg will do well, and I think can motivate some young people out there. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him with a pretty good, maybe even a second place showing.
I think you're right. I think on the ground here, Rich, I think Buttigieg will be the surprise strength. He's not going to win. I don't think he's going to get in second place, but I think he's going to be a strong third. That's my guess.
By the way, before we let you go, a wonderful piece that you had on Slate tied into the Super Bowl about a former Chiefs great, Jim Tyrer. That was a really powerful piece.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought about it because of the book that had come out about, you know, back in 1980, when, for those who don't know, Jim Tyrer is the most decorated NFL player not in the Hall of Fame, because tragically he was a murder-suicide in 1980. And I thought about the book by Michael Oriott that came out later. And now we know. It's amazing. 40 years later, the medical science tells us about CTE and tells us about what's happening. And it's just amazing to look back on something that happened 40 years ago and be able to know now about how the brain works.
Yeah, it's terrific, and you can check that out on Slate. Well, Michael, we appreciate you not only making time for us, but sharing the really bright bunch of students you've got, where it makes me feel better about the future having people like that on.
Thanks a lot, Rich.
All right, we'll talk to you when you get home. Michael Socolow, University of Maine historian and author from Des Moines here on Downtown.